Welcome to week 11 of Bruce Monin's Computer Points. I'm Bruce Monin, your host. As usual, we have our co-host and executive producer, Rebecca Monin, checking in from the greater Cincinnati area. Not only are there three high school football teams still alive within a few miles of her house, but she is also at the home of the 6-0 Cincinnati Bearcats, who annihilated Houston 38-10 last week. Since that game was on the ABC 3:30 in the afternoon national game, all the voters saw that, and therefore Cincinnati moves from number six in the polls to, I've got that paper here somewhere.
What do you mean to not include that in the notes?
There it is. All the way up to number seven.
Oh, boy. What a meteoric rise.
Nothing like a good romping of your opponent to cost you one spot in the polls.
Yeah, someone else must have had a good practice.
We have 7-1 Clemson, 5-1 Texas A&M, 5-1 Texas A&M, and 4-1 Florida, all hovering ahead of us in the polls yet.
I imagine that's University of Florida, not Florida State.
Florida State is not good this year.
Ah.
At this point, I think we'll bring our guests straight in. We have the privilege of having St. Henry head football coach Brad Luthman with us. Welcome, Brad.
Hi, Bruce. Hi, Rebecca.
It's good having you here. For the benefit of our audience and for my own curiosity, I want to ask you a little bit about your own personal playing history. I'm sure you played in high school somewhere.
Sure. I had the honor and privilege of playing for 4 years under Coach Al Hetrick at Versailles.
Kind of thought that was the case. What positions did you play?
Well, I was a center on offense, and I was a defensive tackle on defense. People like my son got to know when they're wearing AJ Green jerseys that his double digits are going to be a little bit higher than that someday.
So you're one of the big uglies on those grind them out Al Hetrick teams, huh?
Absolutely. 3 yards in a cloud of dash is the only way to play football down in Versailles yet. Actually, though, the interesting thing, I don't know how often you interact with somebody like Tim Goodwin, but he always likes to kid to me because my senior year was 05 and we got upset up at Lima against LCC. So I still kind of root against them, even though, you know, they're in the state semis this week. But Coach Hetrick shortly retired after that game when we lost. And Tim always likes to remind me that we had such a bad upset loss that we sent one of the best coaches in the state of Ohio to retirement. He couldn't do it anymore.
I was actually at that game in person.
Were you really?
I seem to recall being upset. That may have been the first time an MAC team lost an opening round playoff game.
Did you get that note from Tim? Because he always reminds me of that.
No, I was there. I remember it well.
You know what my wife always tells me, Bruce? She says, if we would have just won that game, I would be an engineer somewhere making a lot more money with my math skill instead of coaching football right now. She thinks I'm still trying to fill some hole in my soul.
I did the engineering thing myself, and it took me 12 years before I retired and went into the lucrative business of doing newspaper writing and unpaid podcasts.
It took me a little longer to get into the unpaid podcasting position.
Yeah, that took a lot of training, yes. Did you get a play anywhere in college there, Coach?
I did not, but I did start my coaching career as a student assistant at the University of Toledo. My year with them was right when Tim Beckman, who got let go by the University of Illinois a couple years ago, his first year there was when I was student assistant all through the spring. The one fun thing about that, and I still pay attention to it, is the offensive staff that Beckman put together there was unbelievable. Matt Campbell was the offensive coordinator, and now he's one of the hot names at Iowa State. Scott Satterfield was the passing game coordinator, and he's now at Louisville. I mean, it was just an unbelievable experience.
So from there, how did you get to the high school coaching then after that?
I spent 1 year at Versailles as a junior high coach under Bob Olin when Bob Olin was five wide in his first year at Versailles. I would drive home from Toledo on Thursday nights after my last class, coach the junior high game, go scouting on Fridays. Then I spent 1 year at Ottawa Hills, which is a public school right outside of the University of Toledo under Chris Hardman. And Chris Hardman's a Hall of Fame baseball coach, and you might recognize him from I think it's his dad was Hardman Field and Piqua baseball diamond. He's got some connections to this area. From Ottawa Hills, I graduated from the University of Toledo and immediately got a job at Marion Local for 2 years under Tim Goodwin. And then from there, with that illustrious tagline on my references, I got the job over here at St. Henry, where I spent the last 8 years.
You mentioned the junior high coaching and scouting at Versailles. I seem to recall in those days that the team that Versailles played the next week almost always was playing Minster. There would always be Versailles coaches at the Minster game every week. Was that that time?
That'd be pretty close, yeah. I can't tell you. There's been a lot of football between now and then, but that's usually how it turns out. You know, we watch scout film or something like that, and we end up watching the same team all throughout the year, it seems like.
I seem to recall some Versailles coaches always complaining to us about that. They may have known that I had something to do with putting that schedule together back in the day. I'm not sure.
Good stuff. It was good times. The biggest thing I liked about scouting as a junior high coach is Steve Liette would always know all the little dives and haunts we had to go to before the game to get a drink and something to eat.
That's the important knowledge you need to know as a football coach.
Without a doubt. I don't think Bob Olin was going to listen to some college student anyway.
Yeah, probably right. Now, hopefully this podcast goes away. I actually took the weekend off with the kind permission of Coach Garen Stokes here at Minster. During these times, I missed my summer vacation where I go play board games for 9 days. So I took a trip to South Carolina this weekend to something called AngolaCon, which sounds exciting, but it's 8 people getting together in a house to play a game about the Angolan Civil War, which excites pretty much nobody when you tell them that way.
I've seen it in person. It's not that exciting.
But when you really like a game about the Angolan Civil War that takes 4 to 6 hours to play, you don't get many playings in during a year. So,
no, you don't.
We got
that old college buddies or old high school buddies?
Neither one.
He's got a circle.
We have a large convention in the summer every year, and used to be in Baltimore, then in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Now it's outside of Pittsburgh, where we play games for 9 days straight. We actually had people from, where's my list here? South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Virginia, Maryland, Ohio, and New Hampshire all come down. Since I don't drive these days, my good friend from New Hampshire, and this is the definition of a good friend, swung by Minster, Ohio on his way to South Carolina to pick me up and to drop me back off afterwards.
It's only a short detour, yeah.
He said he put about 3,000 miles on the car.
I bet.
But I'm back now, getting caught up. If there's any Minster fans or parents out there, we are recording this on Tuesday. I just finished doing the stats from the game film about half an hour ago. They should be online now if you want to see what your kids' stats were. I'll get these season and career things updated later this week. Figure no one cares quite as much now that the season's over.
I do want to interject. If Stokes hasn't given you a pay raise in a while, St. Henry over here could find some money in the budget for the work you do.
Well, Stokes has offered to double my pay on several occasions. That would not affect anybody's pocketbook whatsoever. Heck, I get paid better when we do a game at St. Henry. At least there's pizza up in the press box there.
That's the same reason that Coach Adam Putoff won't let me take him out of the press box and put him on the sideline. Exact same reason.
Before we get to this week's games, and we are going to look at all of the 13 playoff games this weekend, I'm going to do a quick review of how we did last week. It doesn't make any sense to predict games if no one knows how we did afterwards.
That's true.
And, of course, as last week, I have an ulterior motive.
A little bit of bragging?
Absolutely. We only did 7 games last week. My computer points correctly predicted 2 of them right. 2-5, 29%. Not real
not
great.
Not good.
Then we got how the coaches had the team seated. Of course, if you remember, that was after week 5. So that was about 5 weeks ago by now. So that's, don't blame the coaches too much if they don't do too well. They still did 3-2 in the games that involved coaches seating. Not too bad. The calpreps.com computer went 4-3 this week. Cooled off a little bit. And of course, your host went 5-2 to skunk them all. And I know this is an audio-only podcast, but if you can see the video, Jasper the cat has entered our remote Cincinnati studios.
He woke up from his nap. And
how are you doing, Jasper? He's going to be quiet today.
For now.
I don't suppose you're willing to sing us a Scores of the Week song yet this week?
Nope. Not happening.
I thought about it.
That would be even worse.
By the way, wish me a happy birthday. There would have been a happy birthday song at the beginning of this podcast, but my skills are so great on the internet, I could not find a free copy, royalty-free copy of Happy Birthday.
Be in the public domain. I don't know.
How many years young are we?
Do we want to share that to the interwebs?
Oh, why not? I am now 55. 4.5 years from being able to get all of that IRA money I have stored up and start spending Rebecca's inheritance.
Yep, go for it.
Well, many happy returns.
Why, thank you. Anyway, we'll go to our Scores of the Week segment. I just pulled out 4 scores this week that I thought were interesting. First one was one of those Division I games. We had Springfield from Region 2 taking on St. Xavier from Region 4.
I believe it's pronounced St. Xavier.
St. Xavier, really?
I think so.
Usually I see it just mentioned as St. X, and they leave the rest of it off. That's what we'll go with on the rest of this.
Awesome. Now, if we're wrong, it's my fault.
That was one of those, the predictions were all over the place. St. Xavier actually won it, or St. X, shall we say?
Sure.
Won it 12-10, a big defensive struggle. So St. X will be playing for the state championship this weekend, Friday, I believe. Does that sound right, Coach?
Yeah, I believe so.
At a place I'm intrigued by called Fortress Obetz, somewhere near Columbus.
Is Ohio State at home this weekend, or what's the whole background behind, or where is Fortress whatever you just said?
It is somewhere outside of Columbus. I'm not sure exactly where. They just had the state cross country meet there.
Okay.
On the Google Maps, it's next to the Obet Zucchini Festival, so that's notable. It's on the southeast side of Columbus, inside the 270 loop.
What's the story about not going to, say, Canton or anything this year? Any word on that? Just another COVID casualty?
I believe it's a COVID thing, yes. Nothing else is scheduled there. Apparently, they built a place just to host various events. I'm told that some of the media is not real thrilled because there's not exactly the luxurious press box they're used to at a state championship.
Yeah, it looks a little underwhelming.
Well, it's hard to keep the media types happy, you know?
They're a grumpy bunch, I tell you. Which reminds me, we're about due to have Gary Raspberry as a guest one of these days.
Boy, that'll be an interesting episode.
Our next score was in Region 14. Everyone predicted Shelby would beat Van Wert. For the third week in a row, I picked Van Wert to pull off the upset. And for the third week in a row, they came through for me and they won 49-7. Hey, Van Wert, that is a team on a roll right now. I would not have expected that before the season started. I had not heard anything about Van Wert.
Yeah, I haven't either. I'd agree. The only thing I know is I've been following some of the scores out of WBL and whatnot, and Van Wert's consistently been having a great year.
Now to some more local interest scores. In Region 24, we had Coldwater playing Mechanicsburg. I think we all expected a Coldwater win, and they came through 35-14.
Yeah, I don't know that it was that anybody expected anything different. I do know that Coach Kurt Forrest over at Mechanicsburg has a heck of a nice program. We played him a couple years ago. They gave Marion a run for their money in a regional final or state semi 3-4 years ago as well. Their program on the rise, but they just haven't quite pushed past the MAC barrier yet.
In 2014, they came to Minster and missed beating Minster by approximately 1 inch in overtime, going for a 2-point conversion.
Besides go on and win state that year, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
And if you ask anyone at Mechanicsburg who was on that side of the field, they'll tell you the referees missed the call. Everyone at Minster will tell you the referees were right on it.
I've never heard of any refs ever missing the call before.
By the way, what made that game somewhat interesting afterwards, that is the 6th different MAC team that has knocked Mechanicsburg out of the playoffs in their history now.
They're about tired of seeing us, don't you think?
Oh, I would think so. And because this was a 3-touchdown game, but a lot of them have been very close.
Yes, absolutely.
And finally, in what I think was probably the game of the week, couple of teams you know far too well, Coach. New Bremen took out Marion Local 24-17. That was a game that Marion Local had won in the regular season by a touchdown. The New Bremen special teams came through, blocked a field goal and a punt in that game.
Well, New Bremen's on a roll. Credit to Coach Chris Schmidt, Coach Chad Williams, and all the work they've been doing to rebuild that program. They got 17 seniors, and they're all really, really good at what they do. There's some Holman boys I give a shout-out to, Dan and Dave. My sister is married to their older brother, Steve, and those Holman boys put a hurting on us, knocked us out of the playoffs, and then they probably scored one of the biggest playoff wins in New Bremen football history last week. I always get them backwards. Was it Dan that blocked the punt, and then maybe Dave blocked a field goal, or it was the other way around? But either way, special teams won that game for sure.
That's a team that gets better every week. What impressed me is, if you look at it, Marion Local had given up one touchdown total in the last 6 weeks, and I think that may not even have been their defense that gave up that one touchdown, at least not the first string.
Yeah, I think it was a fumble return for 90-some yards, wasn't it, against some JV freshman types?
Something like that, yes. And the New Bremen offense put 24 on them, three touchdowns and a field goal.
I tell you what, in general, for people that have seen New Bremen, it's a credit to who they are because they didn't come out and do anything special last week. They keep doing the same thing, but it kind of alludes to what you said. They just keep getting better and better. Mitchell Hayes at the quarterback position had a real nice game, kind of put that offensive effort on his back. And then the special teams and defense have been outstanding for him all year.
I saw them in week one, and trust me, that first half of their game in week one was ugly. They looked not good, but boy, they turned it around at halftime, and they've never stopped the rest of the season.
Well, I think that's why we were surprised maybe by the outcome last week, because Marion, the first time around, won 21-13. Well, you're talking about that Minster game, aren't you?
Yes.
I'm thinking about the Marion game the first time around, and Marion had something like six turnovers and still won. So it was kind of hard to think that Marion hadn't gotten better than six turnovers, that New Bremen was going to get past them last week. But lo and behold.
I'm trying to remember what we said last week, Rebecca. I think it was something like we figured Marion would win, but, you know, old Goodwin, he wins a lot of games over there at Marion Local. We were rooting for New Bremen. So.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. We had our hopes for the New Bremen team, but the realism of Marion Local's powerhouse was hard to deny.
Marion probably starts to have that Yankees type effect, don't they? For anybody that's not a Marion fan anymore. I mean, that's not a Marion Local resident, that kind of thing. A little bit of not too many people root for the Yankees after so many championships. All of a sudden, people are ready to see some fresh faces.
Yeah.
But you still want to watch them to see if they get beat or not.
Oh, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, we're going to look at 13 games, all 13 playoff games that are being played this week. In Division One, we have the title game Friday. Divisions 2 through 7, we have the state semifinal games. Just a quick little stat. There are currently, of the 28 state semifinalists this year, 10 are private schools, 18 are public. That sounds like it's about the average that we see every year, about one-third of the state semifinalists. Some people find that very intriguing. Some people don't care one way or the other.
Me and my dad and my uncles go to all the state games every year, outside of this year, obviously, with the coronavirus and whatnot. And I'll say we're heavy public school homers, if that ever lets us choose a team.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do that myself. I went for about 10 years straight, and it was very similar at the BW3 the Thursday night before the game started, and out at the shelter house at Massillon before the game's there. It was always the publics and the privates kind of fighting each other and rooting against each other in a good-natured way.
Well, I got to say, and I don't want to get crucified wearing the St. Henry logo, but when Coldwater played Youngstown Cardinal Mooney and had that big upset, it's the only time in my life I've ever rooted for Coldwater.
And the other thing is, when I used to go to those, if St. Henry would be there, everyone thought that was another private school.
Well, we were probably more of a Catholic school than some of the Catholic schools there in terms of enrollment and people that are actually practicing that faith.
Oh, I have no doubt. I don't think it was so much when Rebecca went through school, but when I went through school way back in the old days, we had 83 Catholics out of the 84 in our graduating class.
Goodness gracious. No,
I think we're closer to like 50 of the 60 when I graduated.
Yeah. Were the nuns and the priests doing the teaching of the algebra to you back in the day?
I had a nun for the grade school principal, a nun for grade school music, and a nun for a third grade teacher. So
very nice.
And that third grade teacher nun had this nice metal ruler that if you got on her bad side, look out.
I've heard they could be mean back in the day.
Sister Norma used to say if you came in from lunch recess with wet pants from the snow from playing on the big snow piles, she'd make you sit on the metal radiator in the afternoon. And I spent most of the winter sitting on that metal radiator. All right, we're going to start with Division One, work our way down. Unfortunately, we're going to get into some teams we haven't seen in person too much. I don't know. I'm guessing, like most coaches, you have a few contacts around the state there.
Yeah, I have a few names that always come to mind with some of them that you got listed here.
We'll start first with the big Division One state championship game. We have undefeated 11-0 Pickering Central playing against 9-2 Cincinnati St. X. Pickerington Central lost to Cincinnati Elder by a touchdown last year in the state championship game. So the question is, do they lose to another private school in Cincinnati? Pickerington Central is currently number one in the Division I computer points. St. X is number three. Cal Prep says St. X will win 28-26. You have an opinion there, Coach?
The biggest thing that comes to mind is a couple of times I've seen Pick Central play at state. I always have an appreciation for their offense. It's very multiple. I would say it leans run heavy. But then St. X has been there a lot of times too. Coach Speck, the head coach, is known for the 3-3 stack in his coaching circles. He's put out a lot of different educational materials, different clinics and things like that for his defense. And also that program hired Andrew Coverdale, I think, a year ago to be their offensive coordinator. And Andrew Coverdale's been prolific in the writing of books and producing clinic materials about offensive side of the football coaching. I think he comes from Trinity High School in Kentucky, who's been many times over a state title team.
Down in Louisville, right?
Yes. I think one of their famous alumnus was Jeff Brown, head coach at Purdue. But either way, because of that, I'm probably just going to go with the known defensive factor and say St. X.
I scribble your prediction down here. I know Pickerington Central leans heavy on the run, and generally speaking, from my experience going down there, when you found a heavy run team, sometimes when they got to the state championship, they looked like they'd never seen a pass before when someone came out throwing on them. But, I don't know. I just haven't seen – I looked at that score of St. X's from last week. I just don't know if St. X can put enough points on them. I'm going to lean towards Pickerington Central. They were close last year. They're going to want it this year, so – we shall see. That looks like it should be a good one. Moving to Division II. In the first semifinal, we have 10-0 Avon playing against 8-0 Archbishop Hoban. Hoban took a few weeks off at the start of the year from the coronavirus. They will be playing at Parma. Avon lost their state semifinal game last year, so this is a chance to do a little bit better. Hoban is number one in the Division II computer points. Avon's number three. Hoban has 14% more computer points. Cal Prep says Hoban will roll 35-14. What do you think there?
I don't know a whole lot about either team outside of the fact that traditionally over the last 5-plus years, Archbishop Hoban's been one of the premier schools in the state, regardless of division. Strong, big, very devoted to the positives of athletics. So I have a hard time guessing what it would take to beat them. So I'd pick Archbishop Hoban.
I agree there. Hoban's just been so strong for many years in a row now. Another thing I like to look at is if you'll notice that they're from Akron area. When was the last time you ever heard of an Akron public school in football?
No doubt.
Hoban gets all the Akron players. We will agree on that one. Now for the possibly more intriguing of the two Division II games statewide. We get 8-1 Maslin Washington playing against 8-2 Cincinnati LaSalle. They'll be playing at Marysville. For those locally, Maslin is coached by former Minster coach Nate Moore. LaSalle used to be coached by former Minster coach Nate Moore. Last year, these two played in the state championship game with LaSalle winning 34-17. Maslin's currently number two in the Division II computer points, LaSalle number six, so Maslin has 25% more computer points. Cal Preps says Maslin will win 28-22. That would give Maslin one more shot at that elusive playoff championship they have yet to obtain. Personally, I look at that and say, historically speaking, Maslin loses either this week or next week, and which one is it? And I'm going to go with LaSalle. I think they're going to lose again this week. Just a guess, to be honest.
I don't know. It seems like, obviously, Nate Moore did wonders at Minster, and then he went out to LaSalle, and once he got that ship on the right track, LaSalle's never looked back. You know, they've been pumping him out even after Nate left. He's doing a whale of a job at Maslin, but I think I'm going to agree with you. I don't know if they got enough to get by LaSalle. The only thing I can say off of last year, I see your score was 34-17. I don't remember it being particularly lopsided, like it could have been one of them late score kind of games that made it look like it was a bigger blowout than it was. But I still offhand would go ahead and side with LaSalle.
Moving on to Division III. Hold on. My brother's calling me on the phone. They wish me happy birthday, I imagine.
How dare he? Maybe run interference? I'll shoot him a text.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on to Division III, we have 8-1 Columbus St. Francis DeSales. Boy, that's a long title. And they are playing against 8-2 Archbishop Alter at London, Ohio. So we got Saints and we got Archbishops going against each other here. DeSales is number 3 in the Division III computer points. Alter's number 9. That's only 16% more computer points for DeSales. Cal Prep says DeSales will win in a 2-point game, 28-26. Any ideas there, Coach?
Well, I was going to ask you if you knew offhand how long Ed Domsites has been coaching at Alder now.
For a long time. However, I did just find out that he will not be on the sidelines coaching this game. He has COVID.
Does he really?
Yes, he does.
That's unfortunate to hear. He's put his own personal stamp on that for as long as he's been there, that heavy run attack first. The only other thing I know about him is I looked up the roster at one time earlier this year, and I think they got a couple Big Ten commits maybe, or at least some recruits on the roster. I think maybe Cal Preps is wrong. I think Alder's going to get St. Francis DeSales.
And I'm going to lean the other way. I'm going to say I know the coach will just be up in a booth instead or somewhere off to the side with a microphone or with a headset and a microphone, but when a guy's been coaching that long, that still has to be in effect if he's not there on the field.
Very true.
Of course, he also probably has a staff that's been there forever and ought to be able to handle things, you would hope.
You would think as culture's established that hopefully it could carry it through on a game night without him.
The winner of that game will play the winner of 10-0 Chardon against 9-1 Tiffin Columbian. Chardon is number 1 in the D3 computer points. Tiffin Columbian number 7. So Chardon has 38% more computer points. Cal Preps like Chardon big, 38-17. All I know is I looked up the schedules of the two teams, and Chardon has been beating some very good opponents, and they've been beating them very handily. I kind of like Chardon to keep on rolling.
I'm going to agree with you on your show notes here that I got printed out. I just got a big question mark because I don't know a whole lot about either team. So I'm going to go with Cal Preps and go with Bruce Mon and say Chardon.
I know I've heard of Chardon a lot the last few years. I don't usually hear much about Tiffin Columbian and when it comes to football.
Absolutely. Sounds like they're having a pretty nice season, but maybe it'll come to an end this week.
Next will be Division IV. We'll start with the teams I know a little less about. We have 9-0 Bloom Carroll playing 7-2 Mentor Lake Catholic, and they will be playing at New Philadelphia. Bloom Carroll's number 1 in the Division IV computer points. Lake Catholic's number 8. That translates to Bloom Carroll having 28% more computer points. Cal Prep says Mentor Lake Catholic will win 19-14. I'm not so sure. Personally, I think the only reason Mentor Lake Catholic is here is because Youngstown Ursuline had a number of players out with COVID last week. I'm leaning towards Bloom Carroll myself.
Well, I'm not one to disagree with you. Again, two teams I'm not very familiar with, so I'm going to bow to your wisdom.
Yeah, it's a good thing I do this. That's something that never happens here at the house.
You should start making me pick first, otherwise I'm just going to ride your coattails so that maybe I have a decent record next week.
Hey, that's what I do every week.
I think that's a great idea. You're first the rest of the way, Coach.
Shouldn't have gave it away.
And now we get the game of interest for Rebecca.
Hey.
9-0, Cincinnati, Wyoming, from that cute town or whatever it is.
The place with all the trees.
Yes. Is playing against 9-1 Van Wert, and they'll be playing at Piqua. Rebecca likes Wyoming because they have a nice coffee shop and lots of trees.
And a vet office.
And a vet office. Excellent. Although you still take your cat to Maria Stein, don't you?
For now. I'll switch him over soon enough.
Van Wert is currently number 2 in the computer points in Division 4. Wyoming is only number 3. So Van Wert has an entire 1% more computer points. Cal Preps has been picking against Van Wert for 3 weeks straight now. They've finally seen the light, and they've picked Van Wert 31-28 this week. They're against your Cincinnati, Wyoming there, Rebecca.
They can be wrong. It's fine.
What's your thoughts, Coach?
Was it last year that Cincinnati, Wyoming beat a good St. Mary's team in the playoffs? Was that last year?
Yes, it was. They had a quarterback who is at the University of Cincinnati right now, and they hope to be a 3-year starter or so for them in the future.
So that quarterback graduated? I was going to say, I remember thinking that St. Mary's was going to win it all last year, and then out of nowhere, the Cincinnati, Wyoming team I knew nothing about ended their run. So I guess I'm going to go against Cal Preps and pick Cincinnati, Wyoming again.
You hear the pencil marks scribbling on the paper here as I write that down. My high-tech recording system. All I can say is, heck, I've been riding that Van Wert train for a while now, and they haven't let me down yet. Maybe now that they're favored, I should pick against them since they came through when they were underdogs. Mm. But I'm sticking with Van Wert. I like them.
Not going to jump on the Wyoming bandwagon?
You think I should?
I don't know. It's getting a little crowded up here.
What's the word at the coffee shop, Rebecca?
You know, I can't actually go into the coffee shop. It's just a carryout window right now because of COVID.
I'm told 50 million vaccines will go out by the end of the year.
I'm sure that's entirely accurate.
You might be too healthy to get one of them.
And yeah, and not rich enough.
All right, so no coffee till about February for Rebecca, huh?
I can still get the coffee. I just can't sit down and talk to people.
All righty, on to Division 5. We have 4 undefeated teams left in Division 5.
Oh, boy.
Oh, and we have another team near Rebecca again. 10-0, St. Bernard, Roger Bacon.
Big fan of the name. Not very aware of the environment.
They are playing against 10-0 Ironton, another game in London, Ohio. Ironton lost to Kirtland in the state finals last year, and all of us around here know a little bit about Kirtland. That is a team that seems to come up in the state championship game every single year.
Can't keep them out of it.
Ironton's currently number 1 in the Division 5 computer points. Roger Bacon's number 5. Ironton has 8% more computer points. Cal Preps likes Ironton to win 34-22.
That's not nothing.
What's your thoughts, Coach?
If I got it right, Roger Bacon's the team that knocked for sales out of the playoffs a couple weeks back, right?
That is them. They have that running back that's going to LSU, Corey Kiner.
And then Ironton has a linebacker going to Ohio State, doesn't it?
I believe at least one, yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So I guess I'm going to go ahead and let Buckeye blood run deep and say Ironton goes over Roger Bacon.
Personally, I'm going with Roger Bacon and Corey Kiner. We're still hoping LSU gets hit with enough sanctions that he decides to move to his second choice, the University of Cincinnati. Plus, I've been to enough state championship games that I always have a little doubt about teams from southeastern Ohio.
You happen to remember the old, because it's just a memory of my childhood, a couple of the old battles the old Versailles teams had with Ironton in the playoffs?
Was it Ironton or Wheelersburg?
Both.
Both
played both in the past.
Yeah. I don't remember how they did, though. Pretty well, I would imagine.
Back in the mid-90s, Versailles did a lot of winning.
I just remember you get to the state championship game, and that was one of those teams usually that came from down there. They would run the ball 50 times a game, and most of their opponents must have run the ball 50 times a game because some St. Henry quarterback would go back and throw a 20-yard pass down the field, and they would look up and say, what was that? Is that legal?
The only thing I ever have against some of those teams is they always have a hard time coming back. So the moment they're down a score or, 10 points, game might as well be over if they get down 2 points or 2 scores.
Yeah, that could definitely happen to one of those teams. That's why the old Versailles teams never let themselves get down early, right?
Yeah, just grind that clock down as hard and as fast as you could.
Our other game in Division 5 is one of my favorite school districts, Tontogony Otsego.
It's just such a good name.
I just love Tontogony. That is near my wife's home. Otsego is Grand Rapids, actually. She never liked it when I used to call it Tontangami. Never allowed.
No.
Otsego, not exactly a state-known powerhouse, but having a good year this year. So who do they get but 9-0 Kirtland? Kirtland is pretty much the definition of a state-known powerhouse. Kirtland's number 2 in the computer points. Otsego, number 4. Kirtland's favored by 6% in the computer points. Kirtland was the state champion last year. Otsego missed the playoffs last year. So the experience goes of Kirtland. Cal Prep says Kirtland only by 10 points, though.
I have a hard time believing it's going to be that close. Coach Tiger Laverty's built a juggernaut up there. As physical as they play and some of the dudes they have playing for them, if it's within 10, I'm going to be shocked.
My notes here just says, Kirtland, Tiger Laverty can coach.
There you go.
He's a throwback, too. I mean, I'm sure you've watched him well, obviously, against Minster or against Marion or anything like that. You know, he doesn't wear headsets during the game, sends in plays in an old-school offense, all that kind of thing.
And I just read an article the other day from a couple years ago. After winning the state championship, they had 100% attendance at Sunday morning voluntary lifting the next day.
I've heard some of the commitments to the weight room in that program are legendary.
Getting on down to the divisions with the local teams here. Division 6. All 4 teams left in Division 6 are 10-0 on the season. We'll start with the Eastern game. Beverly Fort Fry is playing against New Middletown Springfield. Do you have any idea where New Middletown is, Rebecca?
Maybe in Springfield.
Well, it's not near the Middletown nor the Springfield that those of us on the western side of the state know about. I don't even know where Beverly is, where Fort Fry High School is either. So they are playing the game at Zanesville, and I know exactly where that is.
It's southeast of Youngstown. It's basically on the Pennsylvania border.
Oh, okay. No wonder I don't know it. So I'm guessing Beverly is somewhere down on the east side, down by the Ohio River, down south somewhere. Locally, New Middletown Springfield is known because they're the team that Anna beat by about 30 points last year in the state championship game. I believe that Anna Speed just ran all around them on the artificial turf, if I remember right.
If I remember, there's only one team that didn't get run all over by Anna, and that was Marion Local last year. So,
the only times I saw Anna, they were running circles around everyone. So that's one of them. If you were playing these days, you would put the old legendary Marion Local Coldwater thing on it. Anna's coming to town. You don't cut the grass all week, and you water until the buses pull up.
No doubt.
Fort Fry is number 1 in the D6 computer points. Springfield's number 2. So computer points, why this is the game. Fort Fry has 13% more computer points. Cal Preps likes New Middletown Springfield 28-24. Any ideas there, Coach?
I'm just going to go with the fact that they were in state last year and they're returning. And again, this is me in the dark on the blind. And I'm going to say that New Middletown Springfield gets it done this year.
What I do know is Fort Fry from down in the southeast runs the old wing T. So that's another team if you can get the lead on them. Or if you know how to pass, you might be able to take them out. On the internet, the Fort Fry fans have been bragging loud and hard since before the season started, and they haven't stopped. They say they are it. They are the team to beat this year.
That doesn't always mean anything.
Well, I'm picking Springfield. Once again, I like teams that had the experience the year before. They know what it's like to lose, and now they're hoping to know what it's like to win.
Well, and if they're making it back, it's got to mean that some of the roster's returning, right? That maybe they made it last year with a good group of seniors, but also a heck of a supporting group of juniors that are now taking over the role.
You would certainly think so, yes. I'm sure there's plenty of guys on that team with state championship game experience.
Without a doubt.
And the other game is Coldwater playing Columbus Grove, and that game will be at Sydney. Another place of very good food in the press box, by the way. Last time I was there, it was pulled pork.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mr. Ross is never going to let you down, is he?
No, he doesn't. He gives well, and he makes sure he gets well if he comes to visit you. So, Columbus Grove actually has more computer points than Coldwater. They are number 3. Coldwater's number 4. Columbus Grove has 9% more. These are two very traditional powers. Grove has actually been down a little bit the last few years. They missed the playoffs in 2019. But there were years and years and years where Columbus Grove was already there and always there. And it was usually a strong line because there were always guys on that team that would end up being the state champions in the shot put or the discus at the state track meet afterwards.
When they beat Marion Local back in the day at the state game, wasn't it Jerry Cooper and Blaine Mag? Weren't those some traditional names on that team? Jerry Cooper was the coach. The only reason I bring that name up is because he was the head coach at Lima Central Catholic when I was a senior and lost.
I'm thinking he may have even been the coach at Salina for a while too.
Really?
But yes, it was definitely some of the Mag family. There's been a few Mags roll through Columbus Grove, and they're all very difficult to tackle.
Good football players, to be sure.
I have a little more access to some extensive MAC stats here. Coldwater is actually 75-19 in their playoff history. So they got their 75th playoff win last week. And that includes 69-16 when they're playing non-MAC teams. Columbus Grove is currently 1-4 when they play MAC teams in the playoffs, but they've never played Coldwater in the postseason. All that leaves is Cal Preps, the computer people out in California. They say Coldwater by 2 touchdowns, 35-20. Are you required by MAC bylaws to agree with that? Or?
Well, not by – I'm afraid that my hometown here in St. Henry would be disappointed to hear me agree with it, to be honest. But the thing I keep thinking all year is with Miles Blassingame at quarterback, that Coldwater looks like Coldwater team of 5-6 years ago, where that quarterback's a big, strong runner. They can throw the ball over the top, but he's also their leading rusher. And you think back to Brody Hoying, you think back to Kevin Hoying, you think back to some of the great quarterbacks that Coldwater's had in the past. It's always been when they were strong, strong running threats and then could hit you over the top. So, yeah, I think Coldwater might be the class of Division VI this year.
And my note just says Coldwater, period. Yeah. I'm going with them hard.
Hard to fight against the MAC.
Columbus Grove, they're back this year, but – like I said, they have had some down years lately. It's not like they're the power they used to be. So finally, we have Division 7. Unlike the last two divisions, there are no undefeated teams left in Division 7. And in Division 7, we have the battle of three private schools and New Bremen. Our first game, 8-2 Warren John F. Kennedy is playing 7-3 Newark Catholic, and they're playing at Massillon. Warren JFK is number 3 in the computer points. Newark Catholic is number 20. So their wins were not near as impressive as other teams' wins.
Do you have any insight, like you did with COVID and stuff before, of how Newark Catholic is a number 20 computer point team and still alive? Did they have any good bounces?
I think they were only seeded something like 12th when the coaches seeded them. They started the year like 0-3 out of the chute.
Were they scheduling any harder than they would do traditionally or anything like that?
Newark Catholic started the year 2-3, which is why they were not seeded so high. Their three losses were all close games, but they were two teams that have records like 7-4, 6-5, and 5-5. And the teams they beat before the playoffs started were generally losing record teams. Now, a lot of those teams they lost to were a division or two or three higher. One of them was Division II. So the computer points may be underestimating them a little bit.
Well, I wonder if Newark Catholic gets a little bit of that MAC treatment when they try to schedule. I mean, because Newark Catholic is a early to mid-90s traditional power.
If not before, yeah.
And that kind of thing. And then they've been back to state a couple of times since that run. But I just wonder if they have trouble scheduling like we all do down here.
I would have to think they would. I wouldn't be in a rush to schedule them. I wouldn't think if I was an athletic director in that area. Cal Preps still likes Warren JFK. Cal Preps says Warren JFK 28-17.
I'm going to go with the computer. I'm going to trust Cal Preps and also stay with Warren JFK.
I am also picking Warren JFK. I don't know if I can root for him ever since that whooping they put on my Minster team back in the 2016 state championship game.
That was a pretty good run for that Minster team, though. I mean, that was a really good Warren JFK team that year.
That was a very good Warren JFK team. That was a Minster team that lost 4 MAC team games in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
And then just kept getting through in the playoffs until they ran into the old juggernaut there. But doesn't mean I have to like them.
No, not at all.
And then the game that I have been struggling with for days now, and I'm still not sure I'm not going to change my pick as I'm thinking here. We have 8-1 Lima Central Catholic playing 8-2 New Bremen at Wapakoneta. A very nice place for MAC teams to play playoff games. I don't know if MAC teams hardly ever lose at Wapakoneta.
Great facility, great school to host a team, though, host a game.
Brand new field this year, too.
Is it right?
This year or last year. LCC is number one in the D7 computer points. New Bremen's number four. LCC has 39% more. Cal Prep says LCC will win by 3 points, 31-28. Side note, New Bremen's 8-3 in their playoff history. They've only ever lost once to a non-MAC team. That was a game against Hardin Northern back in 2004.
Yeah, what was the old Hardin Northern power days? What was that, Pete Bruno or something like that was the head coach?
That was the coach's name, yep. And again, I was at that game. Apparently, it was bad luck for me to be at games for playoff games of other MAC teams. I was at that one, standing on the sideline.
Was that a sloppy weather game, Bruce?
No, it wasn't too bad, I don't think. I had my good friend, I'll let Rebecca verify this, my good friend Mark Yoshikawa was in from California, where he's an official out there, and I got him a sideline pass using a J.J. Huddle press pass.
I don't know if I can confirm anything from 2004, but I do know Mark, so there you go.
And he is a football official.
He is a football official.
And we stood on the sidelines, and he paid no attention to the game. He had a notepad out taking notes on how the officials in Ohio did things.
Dedication.
Yes.
He's one of those board gamers that goes and plays conventions. And
oh, really?
Every year.
Now he works at a donut shop in California and drives a float in the Rose Parade every year.
He's an interesting character.
So every year I watch the Rose Parade, wait for that donate life float. It's usually early. And I wait until he makes that about 100-degree corner. I check to see if he crashes. Once he makes the corner, I turn it off. I'm just there for the crashes. So I'm going to let you go first again, Coach, because...
You don't want to?
Because I might change my mind while he's talking, yes.
Well, I've seen both teams, watch LCC just on the NFHS app, and obviously scouted, played New Bremen, prep for New Bremen. I want to say that LCC may be one of the most talented teams in Division 7, because I thought maybe I was originally going to pick LCC, but I think New Bremen plays better defense. And at this time of the year, it's hard to pick against defense and special teams, which is, I mean, the whole reason New Bremen won last week. So I'm going to go ahead and say that New Bremen Cardinals keep their special run going. I'm going to root for Chris Schmidt, and I hope those guys pull it off.
Well, I'm definitely rooting for New Bremen. I've seen LCC at least 3 times on WOSN this year. And I got to agree with you, that has to be the most talented D7 team that's out there. That is a fast team, too. They have not been overly impressive defensively. And I'm thinking if New Bremen could score 3 touchdowns on Marion Local, they might be able to score 4-5 on LCC, because I think they'll need to score 4-5 on LCC to beat them.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to come down to is LCC had a running back who is the leading rusher in school history who hurt his ankle and is out. He was out last week, though, too, and I saw the backup, and the backup looks awfully good. It wasn't a whole lot of drop-off. But I'm still going to say it's just enough. I think New Bremen takes them, and Bremen gets a chance to go up and maybe get a little revenge for Minster against Warren JFK in the state title game. So, Rebecca, now that we did that, we're waiting for all your predictions on these games.
I agree with the above statements, and I think New Bremen's going to win it all.
All right, so if you get that one right, you'll be 1-0, 100%, right?
Well, New Bremen and Wyoming, of course.
Oh, okay. So we got 2 games on the line for Rebecca, New Bremen and Wyoming. So that's our entire plan for the podcast. Do you have anything you want to add to it here, Coach?
No, but I appreciate you guys having me on. This was fun.
Hey, I'm glad to get you, I tell you. It's always nice to have someone that might actually know something about these things when the time comes.
Well, don't go that far.
We'll let you loose then. Maybe we'll bring you back sometime next year if you don't mind.
No, not at all. I'd be happy to come back.
Next week, we'll check to see how well our picks did, and then we'll preview the 6 remaining state championship games. And hopefully we'll be able to round up a entertaining guest right here on Bruce Monin's Computer Points.